life happens fast. We slow it down for you. The all-new News Talk 92.3 WZPR, the talk of the Outer Banks.
Always appreciate talking to you.
Always. Always good stuff with Sam Walker in the Outer Banks.
Now here's Les Nessman and the news.
8:35, we go to the WZPR Breaking News Hotline. You find his work at North State Journal. You find him on SI.com, and you find him with broken laptops courtside at Cameron Indoor Stadium. It's the one and only Brett Friedlander. Stop tweeting about Waffle House. I'm an hour and a half from the nearest one. You can't do that to me.
That's okay. I just lost 40-something pounds since November, so I've kind of stayed away. I'm just kind of dreaming myself.
Yeah, you look great, man, and it's great to hear that. I wish I could even follow you close to that, but it's good to talk with you again. It has been a long time we've talked. We communicate via Twitter a lot, and it's, Be Freed, FREEDACC. That's how you find him on Twitter. All right, this has turned into, chaos may not even describe it. As bad as things were on March 12th, when everything shut down, today may just be as bad, if not worse. And I hope your fingers are nimble enough to get all the typing that's going to have to be done today.
The good news is that the players are not standing back and letting it happen this time. The players have really kind of been proactive. And it's led by Trevor Lawrence, the Clemson quarterback, who is arguably the face of college football right now. He's probably going to be the number one draft pick in the NFL next year. And they're fighting back with the hashtag, we want to play, or let us play. And I've compiled a list of about, I'd say, 25 NC State players on my Sports Illustrated site that have joined the movement. And it's basically catching on nationwide. And they're almost trying to force the adult's hand. And I wrote about how this kind of reminds me of the climactic scene of the Bad News Bears Breaking Training movie, where the Bears are playing in the Houston Astrodome in an exhibition game before the Astros play. And they reach the time limit, and the adults try to get them to come off the field, and Tanner Boyle refuses to leave. And he starts running around, and they're chasing him, and all the fans in the stands start chanting, let them play, let them play. And finally, they decide to let the game go on. And I think that's what the players here are trying to do. They're trying to force the adults' hand by getting public sentiment in their favor. And it's going to be really interesting to see how this plays out and to see if it has any kind of effect at all. Because, a lot of the national pundits are suggesting that some of the momentum for canceling the season is not so much safety because of COVID-19, but is a defense mechanism to, against, the whole name, image, and likeness thing, and to keep the players from organizing. And so it's really kind of fascinating to watch this play out.
And then that was the thing that kind of came at the end of Trevor's tweet storm last night was, he's talking about, we want to play and this, and then all of a sudden this very well prepared graphic and hashtag comes out and it wasn't just him. It was a number of players across the country, almost like it's a coordinated effort. And you have to wonder, there was a late night Zoom call that went on, but it sounds like this has been planned for a little bit longer than just something on a random Sunday night.
And I actually have heard that it wasn't necessarily a late night, but it was maybe about 9-10 o'clock last night that there was a Zoom call, and this is a concerted effort. And again, I think that's what the adults in the room are most terrified of, because they're making all the money, they've got all the power, and all of a sudden now the players are standing up and saying, we would like a voice in this. And I think it's ridiculous. Listen, I'm not a scientist. I'm not a doctor. So I know that this pandemic is real and it's dangerous. Now, beyond that, I don't know any specifics. So I'm not going to, to judge whether they're making the right decision or the wrong decision. But I think it's absolutely absurd that the commissioners of these leagues and the athletic directors at these schools are making decisions without having any of the players involved in the discussion. I think that's ridiculous. And I think there's a reason for it. I think that they like the system the way it is, and they really don't want the players to have a say in the matter and have a voice and have any kind of power and take any of it away from them.
Brett Friedlander from SI.com, North State Journal, here on OBX Today. All right, so if this is where we're headed, that the players are going to stand up and organize. Now you start to talk about the complexities of that and legalities and states and things like that. Or is this a situation where the college, the athletic directors, and more specifically the presidents come back and say, no, we're shutting it down and we don't care? I mean, is that where we may be headed today?
Yeah, we may be headed there. And, you know, listen, I just posted a piece by Dan Wetzel from Yahoo Sports who makes a really, really smart point. And that is, if the Big Ten does what you just said, what's to say that the rest of them have to follow the Big Ten off the cliff like lemmings? Why can't they just say, you know what, you've made your decision, we're going to make ours? I don't think that, you know, the Big Ten canceling football has to be the domino that basically forces everybody else's hand into doing the same thing.
Yeah, and that's something that's been brought up as a good point over the weekend is with the MAC, it seemed like all of a sudden when the MAC said we're done, which I love somebody made the point, they should have done it tomorrow. I mean, if you're going to have MACtion and you're going to do MACtion, it should be on a Tuesday.
Right?
But what? I mean, come on. I mean, the MAC making that decision, I can't believe that just the MAC making that decision has now made everybody go to the edge of the cliff. I mean, how much power do they really have being a mid-major?
Well, here's the thing about the MAC, too, that you need to take into consideration that I don't think anybody else has, especially, you know, the Big Ten, is that the MAC did what it did, not necessarily because of concerns over COVID, but the concerns over, you know, Benjamin. You got to remember that these schools, when they play a Big Ten school or they play an ACC school, they're getting a huge guarantee. A lot of them, you know, over $500,000 and some of them up to $1 million just to play the game. And so if you have two of those games scheduled, and now all of a sudden you can't do it because these conferences are playing conference-only schedules, then financially it doesn't make any sense for you to play because you're not getting that revenue coming in. And so they basically said, okay, well, we'd rather just not play because, you know, it's worth it for us to not spend anything if we're not getting any, you know, anything back in return. So they canceled their season for a totally different reason than the Power Fives are considering their, you know, their cancellation. So that one kind of boggled my mind a little bit as well, and it makes you think that there are ulterior motives involved here, and there are.
Yeah, and so how much is the AAC playing into this? I mean, is the American even a discussion? I mean, we have to think about it because East Carolina being our closest Division I powerhouse here in Eastern North Carolina. I mean, the ECU's impact is broad in terms of economic impact. If they don't play, is the AAC even in this conversation?
Yeah, I think the AAC waits because I'll tell you, Michael Rusko, their commissioner, fancies the AAC as, you know, the Power Six, you know, the sixth power conference, even though that nobody else in the world identifies them that way. That's the way that they identify themselves, and good for them for trying to, you know, to horn their way in to, you know, to get a piece of that pie. And so I think the fact that they fancy themselves as one of the big boys, I think they wait. I think they wait to see what happens and wait to see what the Big Ten, ACC, SEC dominoes do before they make a rash decision because they're on that cusp, you know, they're on that cusp of relevancy. And again, like you said, if a conference like that goes a year without playing football, I mean, it hurts everybody. And, you know, athletic departments are already cutting back sports, and it could be catastrophic to a program like East Carolina, a conference like the AAC, you know, to just say we're not going to do this. Especially because they've got, you know, they just signed a nice, really, you know, pretty lucrative for them deal with ESPN. And that's the money that's the lifeblood. That's the money that's going to keep them going. And, you know, even if they don't have fans in the stands paying, you know, for tickets, for concessions, for merchandise, that TV money is what is likely to keep them afloat.
And that's a good point. That the driver of all this is money. I mean, it just comes down to it. Unfortunately, that's what's driving it. And in some cases, look at what Stanford did. I mean, Stanford has been perennially the Learfield College Cup champion because they have so many sports. And they went and slashed everything they could just because, you know, I mean, every non-revenue Olympic sport they could. And that's the huge trickle-down for this. We've already seen what the ACC is going to do, and there's no fall ball in lacrosse this year, which me hurts. Just not, you know, knowing how much we missed out on the sport in spring, and now we're going to lose fall and all these other sports. And East Carolina's cut things, and that's a whole different story because of why they cut before the pandemic. Now you're talking about no football, and if we get football in February, what's that mean for scheduling? What's that mean for TV? And what's that mean for TV for all these non-revenue sports? And at the same time, what's that mean for basketball? I mean, are we looking at are we looking at a situation where if football goes away, and basketball is the big one for the NCAA itself because of the TV contract, are we looking at just trying to salvage basketball, or are we looking at what do you do with football and basketball being at the same time?
You know, first of all, as you know, from a personal standpoint, I can't imagine covering football games when you've got a you know, a team that's making a run to, you know, to try to get into the NCAA tournament, and you know, you're gallivanting all over the country to regionals and stuff. It's crazy. There are so many unintended consequences of moving football to the spring. And here's a couple of them. First of all, and foremost, what do you do about the 2021 football season? Because if you're playing football into March, now you're going to turn around and you're going to start back in August again. You know, there's not a lot of, you know, recovery time. There's not a lot of recruiting time. I mean, you know, that's a really quick turnaround. That's number one. Number two, I think that if you play major college football in the spring, you're going to see pretty much every kid who thinks that he's going to be a top two or three round NFL draft choice, Trevor Lawrence included, opting out. Because if you're a guy who figures to be a top couple of round draft choice, are you going to go out there in March risking tearing your ACL and being out when the draft is coming up in April or May or whenever they decide to hold it? Because, you know, A, it could really knock you down in the draft. You could lose a lot of money that way or even if you don't, even if they pick you number one because they figure you're that good anyway and you'll be back, you know, you stand to miss your rookie season because the recovery from your injury will carry over to the start of the next season. So there are a lot of things that have to be thought about before that decision gets made, because, you know, just saying, you know, we're going to play in the spring is kind of cool, but there are so many different aspects that you know, go along with that.
Brett Friedlander for the North State Journal and SI.com, our guest here on OBX today at 8:48. Brett, this is a conversation that we should have been having in June, not August 10th. What happened? Why is this now happening pretty much less than a month before the start of the season?
Well, this is happening 100% because there is absolutely no leadership in college sports. The NCAA needs – if there's one silver lining out of this whole mess, it's that it is likely to be the end of the NCAA as we know it. It needs to get blown up and started all over again with a new rule book and new leadership, because the NCAA has punted consistently on this and said, you know, conferences, kind of do what you want to do. College sports, and, you know, you could do it in general, or you could do it like Jay Billis suggests and have each sport have its own commissioner. There needs to be somebody who's in charge of all college sports in this country. And so it's not a patchwork of different people making different decisions. There has to be a forceful leader, somebody who's willing to say, we've got to make tough decisions. Let's make them, rather than, we'll let, you know, you go do your own thing. It all comes down to leadership. It all comes down to organization. It all comes down to, you know, one voice. And that's something that's not happening right now. And we're paying the price, and everybody's paying the price for it, but especially the athletes that are, you know, that are basically said, you know, we've had enough, and they're the ones who are doing the organizing. And it appears as though they might be forcing everybody's hand into doing the right thing, you know, and the young shall lead us, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I do have to question, though, we're talking about football in playing a game that is inherently nasty as nasty as baseball players are, because they are the nastiest athletes in the world, and we're already seeing it proven that the bubble, without a bubble, what baseball players are going to do. How do you play, arguably besides rugby, the dirtiest sport of all, with a respiratory pandemic? I mean, how do you do this?
Well, and that's the thing. You know, we're going on the assumption here that if they cancel the season, it's the wrong decision. It could be the right decision, and you know, as long as they do it for the right reasons and they get all the voices that need to be heard, you know, heard before they make that decision. Again, I'm not a doctor, so I can't tell you. But the only way, Sam, the only way that I can see this happening, and I think the NHL, the NBA, and you know, the soccer, Major League Soccer and the Women's Soccer League have proven this, that the only way that this can be done successfully is the bubble concept. Major League Baseball is a total dumpster fire, and the reason is because you've got guys sneaking out of hotels, you've got guys traveling, you've got, you know, it's nuts. And so I think the only way you can do it is a bubble. Now, can you do that in college? Because they've got to go to class and they've got to, you know, mingle with the student body. I think you can, and I think that the, you know, the way the spring semester got finished kind of gives the model for this. We've proven that we can do classes online. So if you bubble all your athletes in an athletic dorm, in a hotel, or you know, wherever you want to do it, if you quarantine them, if you isolate them together, have them do their classes online, and only get on the bus to go to the stadiums and play, or get on that chartered plane that we know has been sanitized and to go play, and not have any kind of contact, it can be done. But are you going to do that? Can you afford to do that? Because the cost of that is really high, and these are the decisions that need to be made. And this is the discussion that needs to be held. And again, the players have to be involved in it too. And I'm not sure that those discussions are being held or are going to be held, or the decision makers care to hold them. So we'll see.
Well, I mean, as we're talking here, Bob Shoop just tweeted hashtag we want to coach. I mean, so
there you go.
There, you know, there's another, that's another angle that, you know, as you said before we got on the air, this is going to be a very busy day, it looks like. I mean, this is March 12th all over again when we sat there and watched the dominoes fall as every tournament canceled. And you were sitting at the Greensboro Coliseum when it happened. I was sitting here in the studio. Literally, we were going on every few minutes saying, all right, this one's done, this one's done. It looks like we may be at that point now. And we're talking about football, but, I mean, this is going to have ramifications for the entire fall. I mean, we're looking at pretty much if today's the day that all of fall college sports may go away.
Well, yes, because if football goes away, they all go away, because football is the one that basically funds all the other ones. And the other thing, too, is I think we need to start looking a little bit further ahead. I cannot see any way that the college basketball season starts on time on November 5th.
No.
Especially, again, if you push back the college football season and overlap it. I honestly believe that if football goes away here, We're looking at nothing happening at the very earliest until New Year's Day.
That's scary, and at the same time, it seems like it's realistic below the professional level that we're not going to have
college sports. Yeah,
college sports, and even high school sports. And we're, you know, there's a whole other conversation we've been having here in North Carolina. We see what Virginia did with shifting everything to at least December, starting winter sports and then doing football in the fall. North Carolina is probably going to make a decision this week. Today is going to be the day. I mean, we had a hurricane, we have a pandemic, we had an earthquake.
An earthquake.
We're going to shut down college football.
Here's the thing, if you shut down high school football too, what about these kids that you've got, the kids who are being recruited now, who have offers and you know, who have committed and all that kind of stuff? What about the late bloomer? What about the kid who just blows up his senior year and now all of a sudden starts getting those high major offers, and now all of a sudden that kid won't be seen, that kid won't be able to blow up, and how about this? You start doing away with track and you start doing away with wrestling and soccer and everything. What about the Olympics? You know, the U.S. has been the dominant force in Olympic sports for forever. And one of the reasons is because our training ground is the colleges. And without that, you know, do we now no longer dominate the Olympics in those sports? I mean, there are so many things here that so many, you know, you talk about dominoes falling. There are so many dominoes that can fall because of this. This is a very momentous moment that we are in right now.
Indeed it is. Brett Friedlander from SI.com covers NC State, covers everything. God, you cover everything. I mean, if there's not
a... Whoever pays me, man, I'll cover
that's it. Right. That's right. Yeah, wherever that...
I am a mercenary, my friend.
find him online at SI.com, North State Journal. Final thing, let's get to real quick, because I only got about 4 minutes here. The 100 and 100, this list that you guys worked on, this has been an exhausting project as you get into some of our smaller counties out here in the Northeast. But I can't really argue. We've looked at the list. I can't really argue with your selections out here. Maybe one county, but for the most part, you guys pretty much nailed it. I mean, how difficult was this and how fun was it?
Well, it was pretty difficult for a couple of reasons. First of all, there were some counties, the big ones especially, where you know you had to pick between guys and three or four people that were extremely worthy. And then there were the kind where you just didn't know of any of the people. And so I relied on sports editors and broadcasters in those areas, emailing them, calling them, saying, help me, give me some names and let me go research. But it was extremely fun because I got to learn a lot of people that I didn't know about. I got to learn a lot of backstories that I didn't know about. And I'm actually thinking about expanding some of these things and putting it into a book because it's just kind of too fun to give up right now.
Yeah, 100 and 100 series. If you go to North State Journal, nsjonline.com, and just search 100 and 100, you can look at all the counties. I mean, if you look at here in Dare County, for example. I mean, Emmanuel David, that was easy. He wins a Grey Cup. I mean, come on.
Yep.
And, you know, and such a great story.
And not only that, but his backstory is one of the best we did.
Yeah, I mean, what RV and his wife did to raise him and what he went through. And then, you know, my across-the-street neighbor, Brett, is Dennis Anderson. I mean, we live in the end of end of the street. He's on one side of the circle, and I'm on the other side of the circle. That one I wasn't expecting because I was going through all my list of all these different, whether it was Ricky Etheridge that played at NC State, William Powell that played at NC State, Cameron Johnson who just came off one of the best athletic careers in history in volleyball. You know, we were thinking all the different, but then to throw Dennis in there, but it makes sense. I mean, motorsports in North Carolina are entwined. And, of course, I mean, Jimmy Hunter and Perquimans. Mike McGee and Pasquatank. There were so many obvious choices that came from Northeastern North Carolina, but you had to kind of scratch your head on a couple of them because I know Hyde County and Terrell County were a little difficult.
Ooh, boy, I tell you what, Hyde County was really probably the toughest one, yeah.
Well, it's a cool list. So 100 and 100 if you go to nsjonline.com. Brett, good luck today. We're all counting on you.
All right, always a pleasure to talk to you, Sam.